Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
How good it is to be back in God's house. We pray that God would bless us as we continue our Easter celebration. This is the sixth Sunday of Easter, Rogate Sunday. Focus on prayer these last Sundays before Pentecost. Have a pre-Pentecost flavor to them as Jesus is preparing his disciples and preparing us for the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we'll celebrate 2 weeks from today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. For those of you that are gathered here at Good Shepherd, we have a longer bulletin printed out that has everything listed. We've been encouraging people to bring their hymnals from home, and if you brought your hymnal from home, great. Just make sure you take it home with you so we don't have any concerns about germs and things that are left behind. The policy or the practice for the Lord's Supper, all of that went without a hitch last week. We'll have two stations and follow the direction flow chart on the back of the bulletin, and we'll make sure that things go well and that the Word of God is proclaimed and the gifts of God are administered according to His command and promise. We'll go one family unit at a time and make sure that we are socially distant and all that. For those worshiping at home, on the radio, on YouTube, a copy of our church bulletin and the news and notes is on our Good Shepherd website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, goodshepherdlincoln.org. Our opening hymn, as we have printed out for us, 490, Jesus lives, the victory's won. What a great reminder every day, of course, but especially during this time when panic and fear with regard to getting sick and dying is everywhere. Jesus lives, the victory's won. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us. Blessings that can sometimes be hidden during difficult days and difficult times. Heavenly Father, you promise that you can and will bring good out of evil, that you will bring life out of death. Heavenly Father, bless us this day as we examine who we are in light of your holy word. Bless us as we confess our sin and our inability to save ourselves. Bless us as we hear the undeserved, unmerited, and pure gift forgiveness from your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. May that gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation be with us, bless us, and sustain us today and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 490.
Oh,
Setting one, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise. That among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor they set out by way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from James chapter 1. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel, the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. And now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated for our hymn of the day, number 480. He's risen. He's risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.
Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words: whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Along with that, we also take the words of the introit where it says, truly God has listened, he has attended to the voice of my prayer. Thus far, our text. Dear friends in Christ, God has listened. He's attended to the voice of our prayer. 485 years ago, Martin Luther preached on this very text, and he said this: in this gospel, our beloved Lord Jesus Christ earnestly exhorts us to prayer. In fact, the truth is that the Christian life is a life of prayer. The Christian is to pray every day, every hour, entreating their gracious Lord for his grace and mercy and care. Christian prayer holds God accountable to all the things that he's promised: forgiveness, life, and salvation especially. Prayer is the voice of faith, the words that flow out of the gifts that God has already given to his people. The believing Christian cannot help but pray because he trusts the promises of his Lord. He believes the word that God has given to him. And yet, in our world today, we don't seem to understand prayer as well as we ought. So it's appropriate for us to hear about prayer this morning. Prayer begins with God and what he teaches us. Prayer flows out of his word. He gives that word and we respond with prayer. Psalm 51 says, O Lord, open my lips, then my mouth will declare your praise. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and then he did. God has given us a whole book full of prayers, a book for us to study and read and learn so that when the time comes, we know how to pray and what to pray for. The book of the Psalms. If you face trials, God teaches you to pray in Psalm 27. When evildoers assail me, though an army encamp against me, I will not fear, for the Lord will hide me in his shelter. When others gossip about you or speak about you behind your back, God teaches you to pray in Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. The Psalms teach us prayers of joy. Psalm 91, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. In times of depression and sorrow, Psalm 130, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Hear my prayer, hear my cry of supplication. God gives his word. And in that word, God teaches the Christian how to pray. And all of those prayers, Jesus sums up with one beautiful prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that we pray at every service and really ought to pray every day. In that prayer is everything that we ought to pray for. And so you see, it's true. Prayer is the voice of faith that flows out of God giving to us His Word. We hear that Word. It becomes a part of us, and in response, we pray to God, holding Him accountable for His promises of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Prayer is centered in God's Word as its source and norm. But in our modern world, we've forgotten that. We have it ingrained in our minds that prayer is something we do for God. We have it ingrained in our minds that prayer begins here in our hearts, not in God's Word that He gives to our ears. We have it ingrained in our mind that if we pray enough or wholeheartedly, if we do it the right way, then God will respond and hear and do what we want, when we want, how we want. And behind all of this is the idea that we are God, and that God works for us as a servant, as a slave, as one who must do our bidding. We see this play out in all sorts of ways. For example, in 10 years of being a pastor, whenever I ask someone how God saves us, how He brings forgiveness to us, I always get this as a response: by our prayers. As if our action of praying does something that brings salvation to us. That unless we pray, we cannot be saved. This takes salvation off the shoulders of Jesus and makes it a result of our actions. But that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture doesn't teach that prayer saves. It teaches that we pray because we are saved. We pray because we've heard the Word, received baptism, eaten from the Lord's table. And in joy, we respond with prayer. Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. God saves us before we know how or what to pray. In our world, we also like to turn prayer into a talisman against evil, rattling off words without understanding them, as if that will keep Satan away from us, as if that will solve our problems. We see that right now, don't we? If I pray hard enough, maybe I won't catch the COVID. If I pray hard enough, maybe my stock portfolio won't fall as much as others. Maybe my job will still be open. We see it in the movies. The idea that praying the power of Christ compels you over and over will keep demons away, without knowing anything about the cross and Jesus and His suffering, bleeding, and dying to forgive us. There's even those churches that teach, and perhaps some of us even who believe, that if we pray the same words over and over and over again for hours and hours, we might get a deceased one in to heaven. We've even heard it said that if I pray hard enough, then God will do what I want him to do. It's usually said to me this way: this bad thing happened, Pastor, because I hadn't prayed enough to stop it. The idea that if we don't pray often enough, or if we don't really speak the words with meaning, that God won't respond. As if he again is dependent on us rather than the other way around. And people try it. People pray very sincerely that they might win the lottery, that a loved one might not die from cancer. And yet, God is not beholden to us. He doesn't have to do what we ask, especially when what we ask is outside of what he actually has promised to do, to save us from sin, to save us from death, to bring us to his eternal kingdom. God is not beholden to us, even if we're sincere. We are beholden to him. This false belief leads to our understanding that prayer is founded upon our earnestness and not on the words and promises of Christ our Lord. And sadly, the Christians who believe this, who pray earnestly only to receive what they have not asked for, so often they despair when their prayer's not answered. And finally, if prayer is founded upon us and our work, if it is how we save ourselves through our action, we're all kind of in a bad spot, aren't we? After all, we don't like to pray. Do we? Do you pray as much as you should? I don't. Do you pray every moment, every day? Do you always focus on what you're praying, or do you let your mind wander? Do you spend more time saying, "Father God, I just want to ask you," rather than praying for what God promises? Do you know the scriptures, the Psalms, well enough to pray the way that would actually save you? No. We're sinners, after all. We're dead in our trespasses. And those who are dead cannot speak, let alone pray in the sort of way necessary to bring themselves back to life. God must act first. Prayer is the voice of faith. Prayer is what the Christian does, not to earn salvation, but because they already have been saved by Jesus, by the cross, by the shedding of his blood, by his praying the Psalms as he hung naked, bleeding and dying. By his life, death, and resurrection, he has rescued you from sin. He has brought you back to life. He has given you the voice of faith that desires to speak to God and speaks asking for the right things at the right time. He has even forgiven you your sin of misusing and misunderstanding prayer. He has forgiven your sinful desire to want prayer to be your work rather than your response. His blood has washed away your sinful desire to place prayer into the place where he truly brings forgiveness to you. His word and sacraments, that's where you're saved. The means of grace, that's where Christ comes to you. It's the blood of Jesus that saves you. It's baptism that washes you and makes you his child. It's the Lord's Supper that feeds and sustains your faith. It's the Word of God that teaches you how to talk to God. That's why we pray. Because in Jesus we are truly forgiven. In Jesus, we truly have peace and joy and comfort. And the prayers that we offer, we do so as Christ teaches us in our gospel lesson for today. We pray in his name, the name of Jesus. We speak to God the Father, asking him to care for us, to provide for us, to save us, just as he has promised in the name of Jesus. We ask God to be with us in our dark trials and struggles and sin and weakness in the name of Jesus. We thank God for all the blessings he pours out upon us. Life, home, family, church, his word and gifts in the name of Jesus. We talk to God because Christ has made us alive. And our prayers, they aren't just some formulaic words that we add. In the name of Jesus, let me win the lottery. No. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are praying that God would give us his mercy, his care, his love for the sake of the blood of Jesus Christ. We plead God's mercy upon us for the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for the sick that Christ would care for them. We pray knowing that because Jesus bled and died to save us and has commanded us to pray, that God will hear, that God will answer, that God will do what he has promised. We're Christians. We already are saved by Jesus. And so we pray, knowing he already has accomplished everything necessary for us to have eternal life. In that day, Jesus said, "You will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Dear Christians, pray because Christ has saved you. Pray because you are a Christian. Pray, and know that your prayers are the voice of faith that God has given. The voice of faith poured out by the Holy Spirit. The faith that trusts the mercy of God given to you through Jesus Christ and in his name. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time our service continues as we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he arose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in Christ Jesus. In addition to those prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for friend of Joe Roberts, hospitalized David Stoltenberg. We pray for the family of Renee McCroy, friend of Karen Kamen, who passed away recently. We rejoice with Pastor Mark and Catherine Williamson at the gift of a granddaughter, Meredith Rose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you tenderly invite us to bring our petitions before you, and you promise to hear us. Keep us, we pray, steadfast in the faith, that we might ever cling to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has overcome the world for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, we thank you for raising up faithful pastors among us to care for your flock. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they would never tire of preaching Christ and him crucified for the salvation of all who hear and believe. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty Father, keep this nation under your care and bless the leaders of our land. Bless especially our president, our governor, our mayor, and all those who make and administer and judge our laws. Preserve us in safety, liberty, and livelihood. Heal our divisions, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to the other nations of the earth. Give us grateful hearts for the freedom we enjoy and for all those who have given their lives and their service to keep us free. We also ask for your blessings to preserve all who work in emergency and medical fields. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, extend your compassionate and caring hand toward all who suffer tribulation in this sinful world. Spare us from this current pestilence and its effects, and look with mercy especially on the destitute, the homeless, the impoverished, and those who are unemployed. Motivate your children to be doers of the word and not hearers only, that they would be your instruments of love to help and assist those in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, look with mercy upon all those who are sick or suffering in any way. We pray especially for Ron, Janet, David, Sheldon, Barb, Jan, Marge, Jerry, Shane, David, and all those that we remember in our hearts. We also pray for the family of Renee McCroy, for the family of Norma Muth, for the family of Joe Velasquez, mourning the loss of a nephew. Heavenly Father, restore these your servants to health, or give them strength and perseverance to endure. Above all, comfort them in the sure and certain knowledge that their Redeemer lives and that they have the promise of eternal life through him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all the blessings that you shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of life, Meredith Rose Atkins, Langdon Jonathan Malika. Heavenly Father, continue to bless us, that we would see, even in the midst of difficult days, your blessings, true reasons for joy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bring us to the holy altar in repentance and faith, that we might receive a foretaste of the feast to come in the eating and drinking of your Son's very body and blood. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Eternal Father, we give you thanks for receiving all those who have gone to their heavenly reward before us and now rest from their labors. Keep us with them in the same faith, that together with them we may receive the promised inheritance of your eternal kingdom as fellow heirs with your Son when he returns in glory on the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Normally, we would pass the attendance records and registers at this time. Due to the pandemic, we're not passing anything like that, and that's the reason for our pre-registration before service. The box for the offering for those that are here worshiping with us was by the front door when you walked in. If you saw that, great. Otherwise, you can hit that on the way out. For those who are worshiping with us at home, we thank you for your continued support and blessings. You can mail your offerings in or drop them off anytime during the week at the church office. For those who are from other congregations that are worshiping with us, either here in person or on the radio or on YouTube, we thank you for encouraging us and blessing us, but we ask that you would financially support your home congregation during these difficult times. Our service continues now with the offertory, "What Shall I Render to the Lord?" Please stand as you're able. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise You on this day for the glorious resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By His dying, He has destroyed death. And by His rising again, He has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God above and high, heaven and earth are full of Your glory.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. In the same way also He took the cup after supper. When He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Oh,
now in peace and joy, our sins are forgiven.
The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing now the post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Please stand as you're able. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 477. 477. Be seated. A couple of brief announcements before we dismiss. Again, thanks to everyone who is worshiping with us, not only here in person, but also those who are worshiping with us on the radio, on the various other ways, especially our live stream YouTube event. It is not the same as church, and I hope and pray that people can, in the right time, get back into the habit of being in God's house. We would not encourage anyone to go on a virtual honeymoon, and so we are not going to encourage a virtual church being a replacement for the corporate gathering together of the saints. Church Council met this week and decided to cancel Vacation Bible School for this summer. That was scheduled for the second week in June. Too many concerns, not so much with the kids, but with our volunteer helpers. And so that has been canceled for this year. We will be having junior confirmation 2 weeks from today. We have 11 confirmads, and that will be at the 10:30 service on May 31st. And I would just encourage people on that Sunday to make room for the confirmads and their families, that if you could go to the 8 o'clock service and let the 10:30 service be mostly for the other families, that would be, I think, a good and God-pleasing thing as well. There probably won't be any organized Sunday school until the end of the summer. However, we are talking about some family Bible study activities in the fellowship hall. maybe sometime in June or a little bit later in the summer, socially distanced and all that kind of stuff. So those are some things that are in the works, the current restrictions, most of which are self-imposed here at Good Shepherd. The current restrictions are through the end of May, and the elders will be taking a look at that and see what changes we can in good conscience make in June and following. I would just encourage you, last week was awesome, and to have people here in God's house that hadn't been here for a while, and you miss your church family, you miss your friends, all that kind of stuff. One of the big things about being together at church is getting to visit. Just be careful. Remember the social distancing, and you may not be worried or concerned, but others might be, and so be cognizant of that, and if you just have to visit with somebody you haven't seen forever, that's awesome. Practice the proper precautions so that nobody else feels nervous or wants to stay away from church because of that. Pastor, anything else? Vicar's on vacation, much earned and well-deserved. He'll be back in about a week, and the other things that are set up with email and all that kind of stuff, he took care of all that before he went. So you'll keep getting emails from him every day. So that's a good thing. I think that's all. Make sure whatever you brought in or any papers or bulletins or anything like that, take out with you. Steve will be frantically cleaning the sanctuary between services now. No Bible study or fellowship time or Sunday school. If anybody would like to help Steve, and many hands make light work, just hang around after church, talk to one of the elders or Steve, our custodian, and I'm sure he won't turn down any helpers. Christ is risen!
He is risen. Hallelujah!
The elders are dismissing as well, so wait for them.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Sorry. It's only our second week doing this. Elders will be dismissing from the back to the front. From the back to the front. That way we don't have any traffic jam in the hallway. Thank you, Pastor. Forgot all about that.